Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Shamita Basu, sitting in for Allison Stewart today. Walt Whitman's collection of poems, Leaves of Grass, was first published in 1855. At the time, he was living in Brooklyn, at 99 Ryerson Street specifically, between Myrtle and Park Avenues. But there's an ongoing dispute over how or whether to pay homage to Whitman's last standing Brooklyn residence. Some think the building should be landmarked. Others question how much time he actually spent living there. WNYC reporter Jim O'Grady did some reporting on this last year, and he's here to talk to us about it. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Shamita.
So let's start with the basics. How long was Whitman living in Brooklyn?
28 years in at least 15 different locations.
Kept hopping around.
Because this isn't that well known, he and his family were sort of in the real estate game. They would buy property, build a house, or fix up a house and sell it. So they moved around quite a bit.
So they were flipping places and living fairly well.
Except they were investing their own labor.
I see. Okay. So the only New York City home that he ever lived in that's still actually standing today physically is this building we're talking about, 99 Ryerson.
Yes.
Correct. Can you describe the house when he was living there?
Yeah, I guess you would call today Clinton Hill. It's a little bit up the hill from the Brooklyn Navy Yard. It was this boxy two-story wood frame house, and it was a working class neighborhood. These were called mechanics houses. Whitman's bedroom was on the second floor in the front. You can see it today if you go to 99 Ryerson Street, stand across the street, look up, imagine him in there.
Mm-hmm.
He shared the room with his disabled brother, Eddie. His family was packed into this house.
Lots of siblings, right?
Lots of siblings. Both his parents were there. So it was real working class, typical situation. Today, the house has an extra story. It's three stories, but it's still very modest. It has aluminum siding that's yellow, and it's still very typical of the neighborhood.
So let's talk about this this back and forth between the Landmarks Commission and this group of writers and preservationists that are saying that the house should be landmarked and preserved as it is. What's the crux of the argument here? I know that the group of preservationists applied to the city to save the house as a landmark, but they got turned down. What are they disagreeing about?
Well, we'll start with one of the objections from Landmarks. They say it's different. It looks different. It feels different than when Whitman lived there. They like places that sort of convey the past. And today, this house is a little bit down at the heels. It was never architecturally distinguished, which actually matters to the Landmarks Preservation Commission. But defenders say, well, that's sort of the point. Its plainness is the point. It's not a mansion. It's not a scenic cottage on the British countryside. it's just a regular dwelling that our American bard lived in, this house that was jammed in with all kinds of other houses just like it on a crowded city block.
But at some point, someone decided to expand and add that third floor. Does that completely disqualify it from becoming a landmark building?
Landmark says it gives them a reservation. Defenders say, what's the problem? Landmarks also says, well, maybe he didn't write Leaves of Grass there. This all comes down to technical arguments about what copyright meant back in the 1800s and early 1850s. They say they didn't live there long. The documents say either 6 months or a year. Defenders say it was definitely a year. The point is, Whitman lived there at the height of his powers. He wrote great poetry in those rooms, no doubt about it. He worked on Leaves of Grass after it was published for the rest of his life.
Sure,
he did
exactly.
Six revisions, you know. So some of his greatest works, his most penetrating visions, occurred in this very humble dwelling on 99 Ryerson Street.
So you went to that dwelling and you walked the streets nearby.
Yeah.
And you spoke with some of the nearby residents in the neighborhood. What were they thinking? What do they have to say?
Well, some were, I didn't speak to a lot of them, but some were a little surprised that Whitman had lived there, and, you know, pleasantly surprised. It's no surprise that people who live there now are much more concerned with gentrification. You know, money is coming to that neighborhood. Myrtle Avenue is just half a block up. And, you know, this is new, and this is the more pressing concern for people who live there. Although I didn't hear any objections to landmarking the house.
What about something like putting up a plaque, a historic plaque, commemorating the location or the site as being the house where Whitman once lived? Has that ever been discussed, rather than full-on landmarking the building itself?
Yeah, you can always put up a plaque, but it's my understanding, I was not able to reach the family directly who owns the house through their lawyer who manages the trust that the house is placed in. But there are reports that they're hostile to landmarking, and it would not be unusual at all in the real estate game in New York today for them to sell and to have it knocked down and replaced by condos, which is happening actually right on the corner of the block.
Mm. So when you did this reporting, this was last July, I understand that not a whole lot of activity has happened in the landmarking situation since then, but what can you tell us about a different proposal to name the block in Walt Whitman's name?
So Council Member Lori Cumbo, this is part of her district, mm-hmm. She let us know that later today she'll be sponsoring, a resolution in the city council to name the block Walt Whitman Way. It still will be Ryerson Street, but you know how we sometimes give names
nice.
To these blocks. And she says it will commemorate the block's most famous resident, who she calls a visionary and a true original.
Well, thank you for joining us, Jim. We're going to go to a break and we'll come back. But first, I want to play some Whitman being read. This is an excerpt from Song of Myself. It's read at the 92nd Street Y. This is from 1973, read by none other than James Earl Jones.
I will go to the bank by the wood, become undisguised and naked. I am mad for it to be in contact with me. Have you reckoned 1,000 acres much? Have you reckoned the earth much? Have you practiced so long to learn to read? Have you felt so proud to get at the meaning of poems? Stop this day and night with me, and you shall possess the origin of all poems. You shall possess the good of the earth and sun, and there are millions of suns left. You shall no longer take things at second or third hand, nor look through the eyes of the dead, nor feed on the specters of books. You shall not look through my eyes either, nor take things from me. You shall listen to all sides and filter them from yourself.
A special thanks to the 92nd Street Y for sharing this audio of James Earl Jones reading an excerpt from Walt Whitman's Song of Myself.